I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So he turns around and says, "This my tooth hole."
Oh my God.
And then points at his butt.
It just cracked us up for probably a good 20 minutes.
Because he just kept doing it. We would laugh. And then with like perfect comedic timing, he'd turn around again and be like, "This my tooth hole."
That was so good.
"This my tooth hole." And it's funny, right? Because it's a toot hole and it's a little kid talking about farts.
Right.
But I also think it's fascinating because neither of us taught him that.
No, I mean,
I didn't tell him that. You didn't tell him that.
Well, we call them toots,
right,
in our house.
And it is a hole. I mean, you know, he knows what holes are.
Right.
But then he just magically put two and two together one day and called it his toot hole.
Right, he could have just easily called it his, like, bottom hole.
Yeah, or his tooter scooter or his toot trumpet. I mean, it was at the same time so hilarious and also a fascinating moment of toddler brain development where
totally.
He created his own word for something.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was so funny. Just like a portmanteau of two other words that we use to talk about it.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I don't think I've ever said like, that's your anus. or that's
Which, actually,
your butthole.
That leads me to an even bigger question of like, what do you call like anatomical things, you know.
Sure.
I know that your dad's a doctor.
Yes.
So you grew up with like penis and
yes.
anus and maybe not anus, but maybe butthole.
Anus wasn't really discussed.
I mean,
but yeah, we didn't say like wee wee.
Right.
We said penis.
I doubt you called it a penis.
Penis. No, we said penis because I don't know. My dad was a doctor, and I guess that's like his go-to is saying the real word for the thing.
Right. And your mom's also a teacher. So,
right.
Like, she probably thought, okay, we're going to go with the real word.
Mm-hmm.
But we have decided that we're going with, you know, like our own words for things, like
yeah.
kid words for things.
Kid words, yeah.
We're going with wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
For penis.
Right.
And
toots.
And toots
for farts. Which,
yeah.
like, farts isn't even, like, a bad word.
No,
but
it's...
I don't know.
But I just... Actually, I got the word toot from a friend of mine who I was, like, in her house. We had our kids together. They mm-hmm. were young. And one of them farted. And I was like, oh, was that a fart?
Mm.
And she turns to me and she goes, "We call them toots."
Mm.
And I was like... Oh, we call them toots now, too.
Oh, I like that. I'm
oh,
stealing
I like that.
That.
I'm stealing it.
Thank you, Deborah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, we have these, like, cutesy names for things.
Yeah.
And now Wes has taken the cutesy name and turned it into the actual anatomical word that he uses for his butthole.
I think it's fascinating.
It is so funny. Also, he's obsessed with toots right now.
That's true. He's going through a toot phase.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a lot of parents out here that are listening have experienced the toot phase, but...
He's such a boy. He farts and then he laughs and then he goes, "Did you hear a toot?" He like looks at me and asks me if I heard him fart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, I heard you, bud."
I wonder if that's like a small way that us as a society and us as parents like start to like unconsciously enforce gender norms, right?
Because
like
fascinating.
We just laugh. We're like, "That's hilarious. You're tooting, you're laughing, you're saying it's your toot hole." But like if Wes were a girl, would we
do the same thing?
oh, you shouldn't fart at the dinner table.
Like we say, excuse me, right, after I fart.
Maybe. Oh, interesting. I don't know, but I think probably.
That is really, really interesting. I mean, I struggled with IBS.
Mm.
And
I don't think you've ever talked about it before. Do you want to?
Oh, I mean, I don't need to talk about it that much. Actually, it is.
Because it's related.
It is related. It is related.
It's a feeling of shame.
Well, when Ned and I started dating and we moved in together, I didn't want to fart around him.
Clammed up.
And then I, created this disease for myself. I don't know if I would call it a disease, but yeah, I had IBS symptoms and I had to take medication for it because I didn't want to fart around my boyfriend.
Wait. You didn't have it before you met me?
No.
Oh my goodness. I thought it was something that you had kind of struggled with for most of your,
teenage
and
bit,
college years.
Maybe I had a little bit during college because of the shared bathrooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I had this weird shame around pooping and farting and I don't know. And
you can fart around me anytime.
Well, I know that now.
Yes. That's when you knew you loved me, is
right,
when all the IBS evaporated.
Well, you know what's funny is a lot of the IBS also evaporated around the first pregnancy with Wes.
Really?
Yeah, it's the organs in my body just sort of shifted and and then it was okay, well, we don't have this problem anymore.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that
That's great.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, they kind of shifted back with the second pregnancy.
Right. So now it's worse, actually.
You and I haven't really discussed this yet, but I'm sure you've noticed.
Well, you know, we don't need to talk about that on the podcast. But yeah, I noticed. No, I actually haven't noticed, if that makes you feel any better. But you, I know, have noticed and you keep talking about it. You're like, I feel like I'm more farty this time around. And I'm like, I don't mean, is it bad if I say it seems about the same?
Oh, man. Oh, shoot.
But whatever it is, I'm here for it. I accept you. I love you.
Thanks. Well, I think that this is probably a good time to for you and I to discuss what we're going to do around toots in our house.
What do you mean?
Are we going to continue to laugh when somebody farts?
I mean, I think so. That's what we do between the two of us.
That's true. That's true.
So,
oh man.
Yeah, I think that's just our household policy now.
Okay. I mean, your mom's not going to be happy about that.
No, but, you know, yeah, it's okay if my mom's not happy about it. She'll get on board.
Okay.
Yeah.
With just giggling after everybody
farts. Think so. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. You heard it here first, everybody.
Yeah.
Our family laughs when you fart. Okay. So today.
Yes.
We.
Big day.
Have a little issue with little Finn here.
Yeah, our pod might be 5-10 minutes shorter because we got to go to the doctor. We got to go to the pediatrician today because Finn has eye goobers.
Yeah.
We're worried he has an eye infection.
Well, it's either an eye infection or, I mean, of course I Googled it.
Yeah. Well, our minds always go to the... Does this happen to you? Does your mind always go to the worst possible outcome?
Oh, I immediately thought he's losing an eye.
And then, of course, the Google is not helpful because if you Google baby losing an eye, possibly, goop, crusty, they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's very serious.
You want to know something that always seems to happen to me when I Google medical symptoms?
What?
So, you know when...
Start to feel them?
No. No. Okay, so you Google medical symptoms, right?
Right.
And then Google has this thing where it comes with these boxes that tell you what it could possibly be.
Oh.
And one of the boxes for me is always pregnancy. Isn't that ridiculous? I Google baby has crusty eye and it says, you might be pregnant.
You might be pregnant.
I'm like, not relevant, what? Google. This is so not relevant.
Baby, my baby. Oh, my girl. My baby. Baby has crusty eye.
Baby has crusty eye. Yeah. So Finn has a single crusty eye. It could possibly be that I'm pregnant. But no, I think it could also be like a clogged tear duct.
Right. It could be. Yeah.
He has
nothing. We doing some hot compresses.
Mm-hmm. He has started getting tears recently, mm-hmm. which is like at once the saddest thing you'll ever see, and also like the most exciting thing you'll ever see because it's
mm-hmm.
new,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he'll get like a single tear,
and you're like, "Oh my goodness!
Oh my goodness!" Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this what we wanted to talk about today was. What do you do when your baby gets sick? How do you deal with it? How do you know when it's the right time to call the doctor? And
right.
And how do you kind of deal with those feelings?
How do you find a doctor?
How do you find a doctor?
I mean, how do we find our doctor?
Well, we asked our pediatrician friend.
Yeah.
We happen to have a good friend, Dr. Travis. He's been in a couple Try Guys videos.
Ugh, love
who,
Dr. Travis.
Is a pediatrician.
Yes, he is a pediatrician.
You know, knows the local scene.
And so we said, you know, do you know anybody in LA who is a good pediatrician that we could go to?
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended some of the graduates from CHLA. And so we found them and went to their practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I love about our pediatrician is that they have the advice hotline.
I got connected with someone very quickly this morning.
I don't know if every pediatrician has that, or if that's just something that's special to like practices that have like multiple pediatricians.
Yeah.
But it is the best because you seriously call the pediatrician 50 times in baby's first year,
mm-hmm.
because everything is like more scary.
Right.
You know, because they're so small.
And I'm sure for some people, the advice hotline might just be your mom.
Right. Of course. Yes. Yes.
Which that's good, too.
That's great, too. I mean, I suppose we could call my mom or your mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. They'd probably be like, call your doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
Hi, sleepy.
Or, well, back in my day,
yeah.
We called iCrusty's snacks.
Yeah. I feel like my mom would probably just be like, put breast milk on it.
Yeah.
Which actually Google did tell me to put breast milk
on. Oh, really?
So that's
there you go.
Yeah.
My mom would be like, call 911.
Call 911. He has a head contusion. Take him to the emergency room.
Yep. Oh, stereotypes are funny. But yeah, we are a little worried. His eyes are a little like swollen. Oh, look at him sleeping right now.
I know he's sleeping.
Such a little sleeper.
He sleeps through everything.
Nappy boy.
Hi, Bubba. Hi.
So yeah, we definitely would recommend asking around. Ask your friends, you know, ask your friends that have kids, who do they use for the doctor?
And if they like them, what they like about them. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there are certain things that maybe you like in a pediatrician that other people don't really like in a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm actually considering switching pediatricians, not the practice because I like the practice, but switching to a male pediatrician because we have a female pediatrician right now. And we have two boys and I'm just, you know, I'm like, as they get older, do we need a male pediatrician?
That's true. Cause you keep seeing your pediatrician
until you're like 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw your pediatrician until you were like out of college.
I don't know if I went after I graduated, but, certainly. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm sure like freshman year I went to say hi, like Christmas break checkup or something, because you don't have a doctor in college.
Right.
It's hard to, like, there's the student health services, and that's really only if you drink too much.
Oh, sounds like somebody drank too much in college.
No, that never happened to me. But that was always it was called Department of Undergraduate Health. And so if someone was like looking pretty like, oh, they were drinking a lot, they would be like, oh, no, you're going to go to DUH later. Like, oh, no, you're going to go to DUH.
What would they like give you an IV or something?
Oh, yeah. That's like if you were like, you know, borderline alcohol poisoning, you know, they might like pump your stomach with activated charcoal.
Oh, my gosh.
IV, like,
so it's basically a hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had a hospital on campus?
Well, yeah, it was a major research university.
Fair enough. No, I distinctly remember, I mean, my college was very small, so we would just go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. the actual hospital.
The actual hospital, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, DUH was different from Yale New Haven. That was like, you're serious.
We know Yale New Haven very well.
Yeah.
Because
we took Wes there. He bonked his head on a bed post when we were at a reunion of mine. I don't know if you parents out there are like on, you know, like there's a spectrum, right? There's like a 0 to 10, like, live and let live or immediate freak out.
Right.
And
like, we go to the hospital or do we wait it out?
We started at like a 9.
Yes.
We were so like trigger happy on pulling.
We started at a 10.
Yeah, we started at 10.
Well,
yeah,
no, true. Actually, no, I would argue we started at a 9 because I would say because the first time that we went to the ER mm-hmm. with Wes,
yeah,
he rolled off the couch.
Right.
Right. So maybe a foot and a half mm-hmm. from the couch to a carpeted floor.
Yeah.
And we freaked out a little bit, but we were like, let's wait it out.
Sure.
And so we waited 3 hours and then we went to the hospital.
Yeah. Because he was acting strange.
Well, we called the doctor and she said, well, is he acting strange? And we were like, well, he's a baby.
We're like, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely acting. He's crying.
He chewed it 3 times. He usually chews twice.
He's crying like a baby.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely, something's wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if there's an ideal place to land on that spectrum because, you know, probably most of the time, like, the kids are fine. Even here, like,
put breast milk on it.
We're going to go to the doctor just in case it's like an eye infection and he needs antibiotics because, you know, it's a little swollen. That's a bit worse than just your average eye boogers.
Yeah.
But it's probably fine.
You know what? I would argue that during the first few years of life, that going to the ER or going to the doctor for stuff like this actually makes the it's like more for the parents than it is for the kid.
That reassuring nature. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, your kid like needs antibiotics, but the doctor could just prescribe antibiotics or something like mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. you know, and it's one of those things that'll probably go away in like a week, but we need the doctor to tell us that it's okay.
That's right. That's right. And on the off chance that it's not okay,
mm-hmm.
this is, you really want to be like catching that early when it's a 3-month-old.
Right.
As opposed to, I don't know, if you're 30 and I don't know what would be the example of something that you kind of let kick around in your body that's sort of not okay, but ends up.
Like a hernia?
Maybe a hernia. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like I kind of thought I had a hernia. I went to the doctor. They're like, you could get surgery. And I was like, hell no, I do not want to get surgery. And I'm just going to do watchful waiting. Thank you very much.
And watchful waiting and complaining.
Now I feel fine. Yeah, the complaining helped. So thank you.
I know.
Thank you for listening.
No, you're welcome. But I mean, we are also in a position where we can go to the doctor, where it's not like, you know, a 3-hour drive to get to the hospital or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
You know, so that might be
$500 proposition.
Right, exactly. So that might be part of it, is that we are in a place where it's easy to do that.
Yeah.
But there are absolutely places where it's not easy to do that. So you kind of have to
home health.
Home health. You just have to kind of wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
Google Health.
No, I do not like Google Health. I mean, it can be helpful sometimes, but it always lists all the horrible things that can go wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just ends up making you feel more stressed out about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the end, honestly, at the end of every one of those boxes that I was talking mm-hmm. about, it says call your doctor.
Yeah. It always has a disclaimer of like, yeah, well, but we really can't be doing Google Health. We're not that useful.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
WebMD.
It is interesting though, like once you get into sort of the like midwifery, mm-hmm. Solutions for things, mm-hmm. things get a little bit more chill. Mm. You know, it's like putting breast milk on it actually probably does help.
Mm-hmm.
Like breast milk has antibacterial properties.
Mm.
There's a lot of cool stuff that your body does that, you know, is made to take care of babies,
mm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like there are, there's like when you're sick and or your baby is sick, it like kind of makes your milk different to give to your baby.
Really?
Isn't that fascinating?
What does it make it different?
Well, I think it gives, so what's it called when you're sick and then you get like antibodies?
Oh, yeah.
So those antibodies pass from you to your child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that fascinating? Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So our producer, Rachel, just chimed in about people that have tested COVID positive and
moms
have recovered.
That have tested COVID positive.
Moms. Their breast milk changes color.
Really?
And you can see the antibodies from COVID in the breast milk.
Like what color? Like pink?
She said blues, right?
Blue and green.
Blue and green.
Oh, that's fascinating. You know,
blue and green.
That's
wild.
My breast milk changes color when I take vitamins.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It turns a little bit greenish.
Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
Whoa. What if you eat like what if you drank a bunch of orange juice? Would it turn orange?
No, probably
not. What if
not.
You ate a bunch of kale? Would it turn green?
No, probably not.
Hmm.
I think it's more like, you know how like when you take a multivitamin and then you pee?
Yeah.
And it's like highlighter.
Bright orange, yeah.
It's kind of like that where I think that some of those vitamins kind of get transferred out.
Well, I mean, once they approve the COVID vaccine for breastfeeding mothers, if mm-hmm. they haven't already, you would then pass the antibodies down to Finn.
Exactly.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that's so huge. I mean,
you know, quick Dr. Google, I couldn't really find it, but I would say if you're interested, ask your doctor because it's possible you could get the vaccine and that means you could inoculate your baby.
Also, as
huge.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool that your breast. I wonder if it changes colors based on your mood. Wouldn't that be fun? If you're like really happy, it's like kind of like warm and like yellowy and kind of.
It's always
honey.
Warm. It's body temperature.
Oh sure, yeah. I mean warm in color.
Ah,
but,
I see.
But yes, it's always warm. Or if you're like really upset, it's just like a little bit red, and there's like little scratchy bits in it.
Scratchy bits.
I don't know.
That would be fascinating. I mean, it does change color.
Yeah.
Like, it changes color based on probably, you know, like fat content and things like that. I mean, if you looked at our freezer right now and you looked at the freezer bags,
yeah.
like some of them are lighter, almost like white.
Whoa.
And other ones are like yellow.
Huh.
You know, I mean, almost like bordering orange.
So strange.
It's really interesting. And some of them are like more, well, okay, so there's... I honestly should do a little bit more research about this before I talk about it too much, but I know that there are several different types of milk that that like you get in one breastfeeding session. Like the four milk is more like hydrating, and it's more like water.
Okay.
You know, so for moms that are breastfeeding, if you're pumping and you're looking at your milk, the like probably the first couple letdowns that you have during a pumping session, is like very sort of watery and white, you know? Mm-hmm. And is this interesting?
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. It's fascinating.
Okay. I mean, it's very interesting to me, so I don't know. And then as you like get into the breastfeeding session and like baby is now hydrated and now you're like feeding baby, then the milk gets a little bit more like milky and fatty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? And so, you know, like I like express milk and then give it to Finn. And so all of that kind of gets mixed together. Hmm. But it is interesting to see that.
If he's ever a little burpy, does it like curdle?
Oh, yeah.
If he's like getting acidic kind of
probably
mouth burps and
I mean, you've
spit
seen,
up.
You've seen some of those burps where it like looks a little bit like.
Yeah, it looks a little chunky.
A little chunky.
Maybe it's curdling with breast milk.
It probably curdle. It's like stomach acid curdles the
Whoa.
Breast milk. Whoa.
Whoa.
I never thought about that.
We could pasteurize your breast milk.
Oh my goodness. Actually, they do pasteurize breast milk.
Really?
Yeah. So,
if they give it to you in the hospital?
Yeah, exactly. Remember when we were in the hospital and they asked us if we wanted to do like donor breast milk?
Right.
So they have to pasteurize that. Yeah. Huh. Isn't that interesting?
Huh.
Yeah, I know. I know. Wow. Fascinating.
Speaking of dairy, you are back on the cheese train.
I am.
You want to talk about how that happened? I don't know if we've talked about how, you know, in some 4-month-old, up to 4 months, babies can be very like dairy intolerant.
Yeah,
and have
well, we did
slimy
talk about how I
blood
went
in their poops.
I went off dairy.
Right.
But so basically, I would probably stay off dairy if I was making enough.
You didn't
milk,
like cheese so goddamn much, am
like
I right?
So much. But if I was okay, so. Breastfeeding update for everybody out there. Finn is real chonky and he drinks a lot of milk. He drinks like 30 ounces a day. And I am only making about 24 ounces a day.
Damn.
What's that?
Damn.
Well, I mean, math. Yeah. So it doesn't add up. And so I actually created a freezer stash when he was smaller and
yeah, because in
less.
The early days you're still creating 24 when
exactly.
He was drinking like 12.
Exactly. So this little one, so and all of the breast milk that I have stored was from when I was eating dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm you know gonna use the freezer milk,
right,
he's getting dairy milk.
Yeah. And for a while you thought it was after you had stopped eating dairy.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
And you thought to yourself, oh no, here I'm feeding him dairy milk and he's getting upset. Then you kept feeding him milk and he was fine. Then you realized that it wasn't after you had eaten dairy. It was before you had stopped eating dairy. Oh, there he is.
Oh, buddy.
Hello.
Come here, mister.
Hello.
You hungry? You just woke up from your nap. You hungry?
So we discovered that you had been feeding him freezer breast milk riddled with dairy, and he was totally fine. So now you're back on it.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
How does
the cheese treat you?
Honestly,
the burrata.
I feel a little bit guilty because I feel like I'm still hurting him.
Well,
you know, it's just one of those it's one of those things that I can't shake with a like with an infant is that anytime that your baby is like crying or struggling or, you know, like sick in any way, you sort of blame yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to let yourself off the hook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah. Well, you could reframe it like I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff in dairy that's
true.
You know,
I certainly need the calcium.
Him. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, actually, yeah. Thank you for
You're
that.
Welcome.
That's a really good thing to say.
You're giving him even more nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Wes said the cutest thing the other day.
Yeah.
I was holding Finn and Wes, you know, kind of walks up and he's so gentle with him.
Yeah.
Like as you know.
Very sweet.
And I know that's not the case for all siblings, but like he comes up to Finn and he sort of gives me a look and he's like, can I touch him?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, of course you can touch him. And then he touches his face and he goes, Finn has eyebrows. And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
Finn has eyebrows just like you and just like me. And he was like, huh. Like, it didn't even occur to him that eyebrows were like a human thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
He always is amazed by the idea of growing bigger. When I'll say someday, he's like, Finn can't talk. And I was like, that's right. Finn doesn't talk right now, but someday he'll get bigger and he'll learn how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And someday you'll get bigger and you'll be as tall as me. And he's like, wow. Huh.
Yeah, I have noticed that he's been kind of talking more about
time.
Or just like realizing his size more,
mm-hmm.
or like his limitations almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he started doing this thing where I ask if I can get into his bed.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Because he has a twin size bed right now. And we climb into his bed to read to him.
Snuggles.
And so, yeah, snuggles.
It's great.
I mean, it's the best. And so I say, you know, okay, can I climb into your bed? Where should I be? Do you want to lay on this side or this side? Because he's a toddler and I give him choices because that makes him feel,
mm-hmm.
feel, you know,
in control,
like he has control of things. Yeah. But, and he said, yeah, of course you can lay in my bed, mommy. You're not going to break it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess you're right because I'm bigger than you. And so I'm not going to break this bed, but he does say that I'm going to break some things.
Yeah.
Like if I sit in his little chair, he's like, don't break it.
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't let me climb in his bed on vacation because he was saying that there was yellow tape.
Oh, that was
And
precious.
I was going to break it.
Yeah.
I also, that's another amazing thing. Like, where did he come up with that? We've never described like,
construction site
or crime scenes.
Yeah, oh my god, a crime scene. Like,
yeah,
the caution
I don't think
tape.
He knows what that is, but it's, yeah, like, I guess they have yellow tape on construction sites. Like, maybe he's just seen it as we walk around the neighborhood.
Or, I mean, he has 1,000 construction books.
Yeah.
So maybe there's yellow tape in
but
one
I
of
I don't remember reading about, like, and it's surrounded by yellow tape, which lets people know not to go in.
I don't know.
He just came up with this idea of yellow tape blocking me out of his bed.
Yeah.
And I was sad, but also amazed.
I know that it's so heart-wrenching when he, like, you know, puts up a wall,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, pretend yellow tape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not even three. He's already
not
shutting
three.
Me out of his
I
life.
I know.
Ah.
He's three going on 13.
How do you parents out there deal with that feeling?
Ugh.
No. And then after a night of particularly hard trouble going to sleep, I remember for you, he said, is there still yellow tape? And he said, no. And he went, cut, cut, cut.
Yeah.
He snipped
said,
the yellow
I
tape
cut
away.
The yellow tape.
Yeah.
And he cut a little hole in it for me to climb in.
Oh.
It was so cute. And it was so like, it felt so real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's doing this pretend thing that I mean, he's obviously our first kid, so I've never seen it before. But I'm just amazed by
mm-hmm.
the depth of his imagination and how real it is to him.
I know.
You know, I mean, he can go on about getting dressed up in his fireman outfit,
mm-hmm.
his pretend fireman outfit.
Mm-hmm.
He like puts on socks and then he puts on his boots and then he puts mm-hmm. on his pants and then he puts on his suspenders and then he puts on his jacket and then he puts on his goggles and then he puts on his hat and then he takes them all off one by one. And I'm just like, who are you?
Yeah. I remember that was a thing in like early like improv classes that I took where they were saying like, oh, you know, as a kid, you do all this pretending, you do all this playing. And then as an adult, you kind of forget it when you tell yourself, oh, that's silly. That's not something to do. But when you're on stage, you know, making stuff up on the spot, uh-huh. you kind of have to tap into that childhood sense of play yeah. and of pretend and of just imagining something that's in front of you as if it were really there, because, you know, you don't have props, you don't have sets, you don't have costumes.
I honestly think that is one of the things that makes you such an amazing father, is that you are able to just tap into that, like, that sense of play,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
like, I struggle with that. I really do. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I see you do it quite well.
Well, sure. I mean, I can, but it's,
you feel like you struggle.
It's still, it takes a lot more work for me, mm-hmm. you know, like I just kind of have to shut off the part of my brain that's like, oh, I need to do the dishes, or I need to clean this, or I need to do the laundry, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just
all those
kind
adult
of
things,
all those adult things, or, you know, like, oh, my car registration, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever else. I find it more difficult to shut that part of my brain off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe this is broader than just you and me. Maybe it's men and women. Maybe it's just the type of people that we are.
No, I think it's really difficult. I'm sure it's hard for a lot of people out there to kind of find the childhood sense of play. And, you know, mm-hmm. how do you leave all of your adult worries at the door when your kid just wants to run back and forth and look at a dinosaur in the closet over and over and over again?
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to put it away and just be there in that dinosaur moment.
Absolutely.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Also, did you come up with that, or did he come up with that?
He came up with that.
Stop it.
Yes. He's like, there's a dinosaur in the closet. He says, we're going to go look at something in the closet. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what's in there? He's like, a dinosaur. but I mean, I think it might be true that, that like improv classes probably helped, because I think it is like a skill and a muscle and like a...
So what you're saying is improv classes prepared you for parenting?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, look, improv is kind of silly, and it's silly because there's a very, like, oh my God, there's a lot of lore and history and, like,
I'm sure that people who are in those improv classes right now do not think it is silly.
Exactly. That's the point.
It is life.
Well, it is. Improv
is life.
It is life. It is life.
For people who are in Second City right now, or IO.
That's right.
Or trying to get onto SNL, or,
yeah,
you know, whatever else.
I was going to pivot. I was going to say, it seems silly from the outside.
Okay.
But when you're in it, there's deep,
you're not
rich
giving,
world of exploration.
You're not giving the first 5 years of our relationship enough credit.
No. it's quite difficult to do. And there's a lot of training, a lot of, like, theories and a lot of practice, and you can get really deep into it. And as you say, for 5 years, I mean, that was my life, and improv and sketch, doing live shows in Chicago.
Yeah.
Doing all sorts of classes and training and rehearsals and coaching. And it's just like, you know, over time it becomes a muscle that you get better at, kind of just like just dropping all of your adult BS at the door and kind of getting into a world of imagination, because nobody wants to see somebody on stage, like, worried about their taxes or worried about themselves looking silly or worried about doing the correct thing next. I mean, you kind of have to,
that is,
just go for it.
That is something that I've always kind of been jealous of,
mm-hmm.
when I would see people on stage, is that, you know, they were able to let go of all of those feelings of, you know, like, that's always something that's kept me from, like, performing in front of people
mm-hmm.
is, I don't know, I just can't let go of my body image or, you know, just like that fear that people won't like me.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I probably have, it's easier for me to do something performative and like it's a lot harder for me to like say give a speech at a wedding.
Really?
Yeah, because part of the like trick for me is I just pretend I'm somebody else. And even in Try Guys, I mean I use all of the like improv skills and training like every day with Try Guys where all of a sudden camera goes on and snap, you have to be fun and performative and just like silly and allow yourself to not think too much. But I am aware of the boundary between my actual self and my like on camera self and almost think of it as like I'm playing a character of myself, which I guess is like a layer of separation between your own like insecurities and your outward projection of yourself that helps me at least, kind of have that carefree, fearless attitude.
Hmm.
And I probably making a speech at a wedding, you have to do the same thing. You're sort of like not the version of yourself that gets insecure. You're the version of yourself that's like super gregarious and right. charming, and you just kind of jump in and go for it. But it's tough. It's tough. And I think being around kids helps you tap into it more. Have you felt that that has changed for you since you've been doing it more with Wes?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have sort of practiced that feeling of just letting it go and just being in the moment and, you know, kind of tapping into this toddler's world of, okay, yeah, he does see a dinosaur in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a mommy dinosaur or a daddy dinosaur?
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, is this a baby dinosaur? Mm-hmm. And then he picks up the baby dinosaur, like, you know, a little pretend baby dinosaur and is like, let's bring it back to his mommy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my so goodness, sweet. You are so precious. Who are you? Like, did I teach him that? I don't know. Like, does he come up with that himself? Like, in the same way that I blame myself whenever something goes wrong,
you try to congratulate yourself?
Yeah, should I be, like, congratulating myself when he does something adorable or sweet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. Maybe I should be.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, whenever he makes a friend or something, I'm like, I did that.
I'm good at making friends too. Gets that from his mom.
He gets it from his mother. Yeah. No, I honestly, I think that that is a, I don't think that that's a very healthy way of raising kids.
Some parts he's just being a kid, you know, he's like, he's his own person experiencing his own things.
You can't, just in the way that you can't blame yourself, you can't like congratulate yourself either, because you can congratulate yourself for whatever you want. I mean, you got to take what you can get out there as moms and dads.
I'm just so good at improvisational comedy, my God.
but I would say that, you know, like taking everything that your child does and being like that's on me.
Yeah.
You know, that can't possibly be a healthy way of parenting, because you're constantly like referring things back to yourself. You have to just let your kid be themselves, you know? And Wes has such a personality right now, and it is not your personality or my personality.
Yeah.
It's his personality.
Yeah. Cool to see.
It is. I wonder what Finn's going to be like. He's a good baby.
He's a good baby.
He's a really good baby. He like, it was very, I mean, maybe it's because he's our second baby and we like know how to do it now, but like, he was just really easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets
and
like,
he's so smiley now.
He's so smiley.
He just looks at you and smiles.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
He's sleepy and he's farty and, you know, he like, he grunts when he needs to poop and he's like sweet and smiley and he doesn't sleep well, but you know, it's not like he doesn't try.
Yeah. And he currently has eye goobers and we have to go to the pediatrician. So thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and write us a review. Helps other people discover the show. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see I'm rocking this gorgeous maroon hoodie set. You can get it at tryguys.com. And yeah, we'll see you next Sunday. Keep on stepping.